M Studios brought to you by Old Mutual.
Hello, everybody, and a warm welcome to Nasty C's Zulu Man with Some Power podcast series brought to you by M Studios by Old Mutual. Right now, I am coming at you guys from M Studios in Newtown, which is an incredible world-class facility that was put together by the good people at Old Mutual. As you can see, they've got a dope stage behind me with incredible lighting and a full PA system. There's a recording studio, a boardroom, and so many other facilities that you guys can use if you want to take your career to the next level. For more information, make sure you check out this website that is strapped below. Since the very beginning of his career, Nasty C has been a big thinker. He's always tried to do things differently, and that's probably why he's advanced to the international level where he is today. So to celebrate the release of his third album, Zulu Man with Some Power, he has called upon some industry professionals to break down what really happens behind the scenes in the music industry. So whether you're an artist, whether you're a content creator, whether you're an aspiring music manager, there's so much cool information in this series that you definitely want to check out. This is a very special global edition of the Zulu Man with Some Power podcast as Nasty C introduces us to some of his friends from the East. As you all know, Nasty C has an incredible relationship with Japan, and in this episode, he sits down with Tokyo-based journalist Kaz Skillington, as well as Yoshi, who is an artist and one of Japan's youngest fashion icons. In this episode, they get some assistance from Sage, who is a part of the Global Universal Music team. The time is now. Let's go.
M Studios brought to you by Old Mutual.
Hey, what's up, Nasty C?
Konnichiwa, man. What's
up? Konnichiwa, what's up? How's everything going?
It's going good, man.
Hey, congratulations on the album, Zulu Man with Some Power. And the documentary that's coming up, man. When is the documentary going to be out?
It's actually out, but I think it's only out exclusively on Apple at the moment. And then I think in a couple of days, it should be live on YouTube.
Okay, cool. Yeah, like, you know, by watching the documentary and the last interview I did with you, like, your love for Japan is just, like, you got so much love for Japan.
Yes.
And, you know, as a Japanese guy, I'm very happy to hear that. I appreciate that. And I'm very curious, what made you love Japan so much?
It's a lot of things, right? But the top, I guess top four, would have to be the anime scene. And not even so much just like watching anime, just like taking it in, just looking at the drawings and just like the art scene. You guys are like the hub of art, one. Two, you guys are the hub of fashion, you know what I mean? And every rapper is like driven by fashion, every single one of us. You know what I mean? And then there's just a couple things like the way everybody's so humble. You guys don't have that thing where you look at people and you judge them for what standard you think they're at. Like, there's no such thing like that. I remember every single person I met was just kind, and I didn't get no special treatment. Nobody treated me like I was above anybody else or the latter. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty dope, man. It's pretty dope. That place feels like home.
Mm. Yeah, the last time I interviewed you, you were saying something like, Japan feels like home for you. You said something like, you feel like you're 30% Japanese.
Yeah, I might be. Do you know my eyes? You've seen my eyes. Hell yeah, what? I think so, bro. I hope so, see.
And you even have your Japanese name too right now, right?
Yeah, it's even tatted on me. I have it right here on my arm. Hashira. Yeah.
So Hashira means pillar.
Right.
In Japanese, right? Mm-hmm. So you said you were into anime. Like, anime was one of the things you love about Japan. Do you watch Ogre Slayer?
No, I don't really. Here's my thing. I don't really watch anime like that. I used to as a kid, but I draw a lot. And I get, like, a lot of inspiration from just, like, the drawings. Like, even just, like, walking in the streets, there's a couple walls that have, like, these dope characters. But just, like, some... Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I like it for that drawing of it.
Yeah, the word Hashira is actually like a big thing in the anime Ogre Slayer. So if you have a chance to watch it, I think you'll love it, man.
I will. That's one of the biggest animes, right? I know people talk about it a lot. Yeah.
It's like huge right now. It's like the biggest thing right now in Japan. It's actually a really good anime.
I'm definitely
How about the food, man? How'd you like the food out here? Like, do you feel any difference? I mean, there's a lot of difference inside.
Yeah. There's a huge difference, man. A huge difference. Just the way you guys cook the meat there is way different. And just like the different stuff that you guys make also. You know what I mean? I got a chance to really like explore. Back at home, I'm always like getting the same orders and stuff because I'm just used to everything. Do you know what I mean? And also, I forgot to mention this about Japan. I don't need security to go anywhere. I can go anywhere by myself in Japan. Like I can just get up, walk the streets and go to a random restaurant. And I know that's an adventure on its own. You know what I mean? Sitting there, I'm ordering something I don't even know and just like let the food surprise me.
How does it feel to be in a country where you can do whatever you want? You're a superstar, man. So how does it feel to be in a country where you can just like walk around without security?
It's amazing. I told you about that too, right? Did I tell you about the mosh pit?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, I think you were at like a Red Bull event or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like the 88 Rising.
Exactly. That's it. And that was my second night in the country, in the city even. So yeah, man, I really like that. I think all artists appreciate it when a place doesn't really make them feel like they're not humans. You know what I mean? Like when people can still recognize you, but they let you go on with your day. You know what I mean? They'll just be happy to see you and just let you do your thing. I don't get that a lot, bro. Like a lot of the places I travel to, even here back at home, it's not like I can just get up right now and walk anywhere by myself. You know what I mean? In Japan, I could do that. I just went jewelry shopping by myself. I didn't need nobody to go with me. I go to the mall. And bear in mind, I did not know the way to the places. So I was like asking people on the streets. I had my Google Translate. You know what I mean? It's pretty cool, man.
I feel like the people out here have like a good hospitality towards... Yeah.
Yes. Towards. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, tourists.
They helped me walk this other place. I was looking for the store, so the store had like relocated, but they didn't change the address on the website. So when I was looking for the store, like I'm like, yo, but I'm standing at the address and I don't see the store in front of me. And it was like these school kids. I think it was about five of them, like three girls and two guys or something like that. And they walked me from where I was straight to the store, and they helped me like navigate my way back out. You know what I mean? That's pretty dope.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about Japan. Like, you know, I've been living here for, I don't know, like 12 years now. I mm-hmm. moved from Los Angeles. That's one mm-hmm. of the big things I realized about, like, being in Japan. Some people are definitely assholes, but a lot of the people
taxi
are
really nice. You know, the only assholes I encountered were, like, the taxi drivers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those guys smile. They don't. Bro,
some of them are really nice though. Some of them, like, you know, they tell you their life stories, and like, you know, you've probably like seen a lot of things, right?
That did not happen to us.
Some of them, really.
That didn't.
Maybe the next time you come out here.
I remember this other time. It was raining hard, right? And there was about, I think there was about four of us or five of us, and we had to like squeeze one more person in the car. We were like, yo, this guy doesn't have a phone. He's not from here. He doesn't know how to get home if we leave him. Can we please just squeeze in? It's raining. Are we going to leave the guy like standing in the rain? And that guy was like, no, get out. And we were like, yo, we were so pissed, bro. Like we cussed him out and we all just stood in the rain. Like we said, F*** it, you can leave. You
know? Yeah, they're kind of strict with like the passengers.
The rules.
Like,
yeah.
So
can't blame them,
hey. They're just probably doing their job within their law, right? I guess.
They could be nice about it, though, but hey.
Yeah, they didn't have to be an asshole about it. Yeah, so, yeah. I want to ask you about your show that you did in Japan. Like, you did shows out here, too, right? You did one in Batika.
Batika, yeah. I went to Batika. I went to Harlem.
That's my favorite place to perform, actually. Yeah, Harlem.
That place is live. Yeah, that place is live.
Yeah, like, how do you feel, like, doing a show in a place where not a lot of people know you? Like back home, you know?
It's interesting. It's like, it feels like I'm getting like a second chance at making a better first impression. Do you understand?
Mm.
Like my first couple shows when I was coming up and when even back here at home, I had like not that many people in the crowd. It was like, it was cool and it was the real thing, but I was nervous. I didn't have like a lot of stage presence. I would mess up my words. I didn't know whether to make eye contact with people. I just didn't have that. I didn't have that experience. You know what I mean? And now I'm going in it again with all this experience. So it was like, it was live. I knew exactly what to do. I knew how to do it. I knew how to make sure I fill in the spaces. You know what I mean? Because not that many people. So you have to interact with everybody, make sure they're live. Like I let dudes jump on stage with me. Like it was lit. It's pretty dope, man. It's dope.
Yeah, I feel like that's a very authentic experience, like for even for the fans too, that's watching you, like, you know, you're in front of them, they're in front of you, like right there with it. Like you can just touch them, like, you know, you high fives and
go crazy.
I love that, like venue live house culture in Japan, because a lot of the venues in Japan are really small, and that's actually a good thing for me.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it feels like it's more intimate even.
And like, I feel like it's kind of like starting a new game again after you beat it once, maybe.
Exactly. So you know. I mean, you know what to do, right? Exactly.
It's like you're level 99, but you're in like stage one. Like, you know how to like.
So you're like, I got this. You're like, I got this.
Yeah. Oh, tell me about like something outside of music too, man. Like maybe fashion. Like, I remember when I met you, your fashion was like on point, man. And did your fashion or your visuals or what you do with your visual art change after you stayed here?
Yeah, it definitely changed. It improved. The way I look at fashion just changed completely. The way I look at art altogether changed. It changed a lot, bro. The one thing I love about Japan is people don't really dress to move with a certain style, or like it's not hype based. People dress up to express what they feel like or what they want to look like that day. You know what I mean? And I was like with Yoshi every day, and that kid dresses, bro. Like he doesn't compromise, bro. Like he goes in. Like if he wants to feel like a rock star today, you have on his rock star boots, a leather vest, like with all these chains and rings and stuff. You know what I mean? And not a lot of places are like that, man. Not a lot of places are like that. People usually dress to look alike, you know, everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Yoshi's I've never met him before. I've seen him at the office. But
he was there.
I met him before, but
he was there.
Yeah, he was actually there. I think that's like the only time I've actually seen him.
Oh, okay. You saw him though, right?
Talk to him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was saying, yeah, he was there.
Yeah, I feel like even for the fashion, man, like, you know, my impression of you is wearing all whites, you know.
It used to be.
Not right now.
Nah, I changed. You know why? It was getting so hard for me to shop. Like, especially at one place. Like, if I wanted... I'm not a person that leaves the house, like, that much. You know what I mean? So, if I leave the house to go shop, I need to come back with all the bags that I need. You know what I mean? And with the all-white it's, like, near impossible to get, like, outfits on outfits in one mall. Because not everything that's white is dope in one mall. You know what I mean? Like, they might just have, like, basic plain tees or shirts or something like that. And if you're wearing all white, it could either just look very plain and, like, it's like a cheat code, or you can go crazy with it. Like, there's really no in-between. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was getting too hard for me to do that. And I was like, I'm gonna put it on pause until I have, somebody that'll put the clothes together for me. You know what I mean? Somebody that I can say, okay, cool. You go around, do this and that, find the material, we'll draw it up, and then you just make me 10 of these, make me 5 of these, make me 15 of these. You know what I mean?
Do you ever like make your own clothes?
I don't make them from scratch. I cut a lot of clothes up and I just like reconfigure them or whatever. Yeah, but I have a seamstress that does my merch, like for my tour and my website and stuff.
That's sick. Speaking about Yoshi. Hey, Mr. Yoshi, this is, my name is Chaz Skellington. Nice to meet you.
Oh, nice to meet you. What's up?
I am interviewing Nasty C right now, and I've actually seen you when I was interviewing Nasty C last year, the first time when he came to Japan. Hey, so I asked Yoshi about his experience collaborating with you, and he was saying something like, your flow, and, you know, he realized you're like a true professional at rapping. Your flow is just amazing. And, you know, how you caught the rhythm, how you switched up the flow was like just off the chain, you know. And vice versa, I want to ask you about collaborating with Yoshi, your impressions, how you felt.
It was dope as man. Like, I started gravitating like to Yoshi the first time I met him. He reminded me so much of my best friend, which I had with me at the time, actually. My photographer, you met him too. He's just high energy, man. It's just, yeah, Teddy, exactly. So Yoshi just reminded me of Teddy, bro. Like that live energy and him just being excited and just like, yo, let's work, let's go eat, let's go. I want to show you this, I want to show you that. Oh, I know you love this. Like, you know what I mean? Like he just showed me all the love, and I just took him in as a little brother, man. I just looked at him like, damn, this kid has got like such good energy. It doesn't even matter what the music is. Like we'll figure that out when we get into studio. And then we got into studio and the music was like fire. Like, and he's doing all types of shit too. Like, he's on his pop shit and he's on the hip hop shit. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, I could, and he's an artist, man. He's a model too. Like, he's fresh, you know what I mean? Like, he, yeah, man, that's my little brother.
Very sure. talented, very talented. Yeah. I was actually really surprised when I heard that song.
Yeah, Yoshi, yo, this man's going far, bro. Yoshi's gonna go far. Trust me. Trust me.
We were talking about, you know, having respect towards other people, especially like in Japan. We have like always the older people are you kind of have to obey the older people. The younger people have to obey the older people. But you know, Yoshi's that type of dude who has like his core values. If you have respect, man, like it doesn't matter. You know, you treat everybody equally. And what he was saying right now is like, the next time you come to Japan, he wants to take you to a public bath, sento.
What is that?
Public bath is a it's a public bath where like everyone can just go in and take a bath and you're butt naked.
Hey, whoa. Nah, man. Hey, you crazy. Hell no, you fucking crazy. No.
I was actually going to ask you about the public bath because I love going to the public bath. I don't look at
other people. Yeah, me too. I love public bath.
So nobody looks at other people. You're just all in your own world. You're still butt naked, but you're still in your own world. And you concentrate being in the hot bath or sauna. And it just relaxes you.
How do you not look at other people? How do you not look at... That's going to take some time for me to fucking... Nah, bro. Hell no. Is it like a sauna type thing where it's like steamy
and
hazy?
Yeah, it's like that? Sauna. Okay. Yeah, there's a sauna and like a big bath.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that in movies and like music videos and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought that was just for gangsters and like mob bosses or whatever. Because it's always them in the movies.
There are some, I guess.
Okay.
But, you know, I go to the public bath like twice a week, man.
What? You see what I'm saying?
That's real that's... Japanese culture, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's...
That's crazy. I'm not gonna do it at all, but I'm not promising to fucking do it either. Like, if I go there and I'm freaked out, I'm out. I'm gonna leave you there, Yoshi, and I'm gonna just leave. But see, again, that's another thing. Again, the fact that you guys are able to do that and it's like such a normal thing, it just tells you how Japanese people think. Nobody's there to fat shame anybody else or pick on this person or take pictures of this guy secretly on like awesome pervert. Like, you know what I mean? It's just different. You guys are different.
I feel like public bath is like the place where everyone just becomes the most disciplined in the world. I don't
think that can happen anywhere else in the world. Where else in the world? Yeah, I don't think that could ever happen.
Oh, but just to tell you, you know, women and men have like different like rooms and we can't see each other while taking the bath.
I guess. That's cool. But then that's also like not cool. But it's like... Okay.
But definitely next time.
Hey Yoshi,
challenge.
Yeah. I'll accept your challenge, but you have to allow me to back out if I'm freaked out.
その challengeは受けるけど、もしビビったらそっちで逃げるかもしれない。そのチャレンジは受けるけど、もし、ちょっと行ってみてビビっちゃったら、途中で逃げるかもしれないって言ってました。捕まえます。 He said he gonna catch you, man.
Yo,
do you still remember? Do you still remember your Zulu name?
Huh?
Do you still remember your Zulu name?
Yoshiku no Zulu no namae wo. Yoshiku no Zulu no namae obodemasu ka?
Yeah, the one we gave you.
Dude, I can't remember.
Jabulo. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it means happiness. That's your name right there.
Happiness.
That's the first thing that came into everybody's mind when we were like, yo, he was like, yo, give us a Zulu name. Me, Mark, and Teddy looked at each other and we were like, it's definitely Jabulo. Like, there's no other way. Like, yeah, like cheerful person.
That's a really cool name.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
We're going to say goodbye to Yoshi as of right now.
Yes, sir.
Thank you,
Yoshi. Catch you guys. Arigatou gozaimashita.
Thank you, Yoshi.
And everybody go check out Yakiniku Gang by Yoshi featuring Nasty C and Miyachi. Yeah, so we talked about like your love of Japan. And, you know, I don't really want to be that guy who's like praising his own country the whole time. You know, did you feel like any downsides or like not even downsides, but like things you couldn't relate? Maybe that public bath thing was one of them.
No, that wasn't a thing. I don't think there's anything at all. The only time I wasn't happy was that one time in that cab. That one time.
The cab?
Yeah, just that one time. You know what I mean? Everything else was perfect, bro.
That's very interesting, man, because like me living here for like 13 years or 12 years or whatever, I sometimes do feel like, man, like this country's or
why is that?
Like, I mean, being in, you know, I kind of grew up here also. I came back when I was 15. So I experienced the school system and then I had a 9-to-5 job in Japan once, right? And you've seen that trains with like everybody wearing suits and like everyone is packed in those trains, you know, and a lot of them don't really like their job at all, you know.
But I mean, hey, that's every country though. Like if you think
everywhere, that's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people are sometimes like they look miserable too.
But I mean, they're just minding their own business. Right? That's like, it's a train. It's like everybody's all squashed up. Like you can't expect them to just be all smiley. But I'll tell you another difference with the whole train system. Over here, it's like if you take the train, it's like you're poor. People look at you like you don't have enough money to take like an Uber or a cab or this and that. There, I was on a train. I'm looking left, right. I'm seeing Birkin bags, Gucci bags, Louis shoes, Prada this. Like I'm seeing like people with money, with real money in the train. You know what I mean? Like it's a normal thing. There's no such thing as like class and status and shit like that. You know what I mean? That's what I picked up when I was in the train. I didn't really pay attention to the best.
Yeah, that's what I feel about like public transportation in Japan. Like everyone takes public transportation.
Public transport, exactly.
Because it's so, I feel like the roads are really narrow. Like if you're driving a car, it just takes a longer time, probably.
They're convenient, right? You guys are looking at it for what it actually is. It's convenient. That's what it is. Here we look at it like, no, it's cheap, so it's for poor people. So nah, don't take that. Rather do this and that. Like it's like, you know what I mean? Dumb way of thinking.
Hey, I want to ask you about collaborating with Japanese artists, man. I mean, we talked about collaborating with Yoshi. I want to hear some stories with JP the Wavy.
That's my brother too, man. Ars takes care of me when I'm there. Yeah, it's one of the first few people I see when I land. You know, he's a cool cat. Him and his girl too, Nina. Nina like helps out with like translating sometimes, between me and Jay. Yeah, that's my brother, man. Likes to have fun, likes to party, likes to drink. Like whenever we don't know what to do, we're just like, where's the closest bar? Let's just go to the bar and just like go crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah, good energy once again.
Did you feel any like like creative differences or like in the process between JP the Wavy and Yoshi? Not to compare those two, but like I feel like those two are different, really different type of artists, right?
Yeah, they are. But like if I take a good look at it, like the setups were different. Like with Yoshi, we were just doing the song because we had time and everybody was like in the mood and we were vibing, we were drinking and whatever. Not Yoshi, but we were drinking. But with JP, we were at like a corporate studio at like Red Bull. I think it was Red Bull Studio. So it was like more formal. It was like a lot more people. It's not like it was just like gang and then producers. It was like a lot more people. It was like cameras and all that type of stuff. So like the setup was different, but I'm pretty sure it's the same, man. I realized, hip-hop artists, we really work the same. We go off of, like, the vibe in the studio. If you're one man, you go off of what's in your mind. But if you have your whole gang there, it's like, it's really off of the vibe. And I think if the vibe is good and it's high energy, it would be the same thing.
Yeah. I feel like that's what hip-hop kind of does. Like, connects people. And, like, even if you're from, like, a totally different culture, like, hip-hop connects and resonates worldwide. Even though, like, the themes are sometimes different within the countries. Like, hip-hop was born in Bronx, right?
Yeah.
But I've never lived in New York, but still I can, like, resonate and...
Exactly.
Try to... What do you call it? Like, express. Like,
What we're doing right now. Exactly. Like this is a culture that anybody in the world can adopt and just like be a part of it. You know what I mean?
That's why I feel like it's the biggest genre in the world, you know, right now.
It is. The most influential too, no cap.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Did you feel any differences when collaborating with artists that are from the States and artists from Japan?
Yeah. In the States, they work faster than anywhere else in the world. Anywhere I've been in the world, it's always been like, when we're in studio, we might do, at best, we might do like two songs. But we're really just, we'll take our time and we'll just have fun and we'll talk and we'll chop it up and this and that. In the States, every single studio session I've been at, like, we did minimum three songs. You know what I mean? In the States, they're like, you're pushing it out, like, you know? You get like this one studio room, right? If you book it as the artist, you stay there the whole day. And then what you do is you just get different producers to walk in. So different producers come walk in, play some beats, da da da. If you record, you record. Or just take some beats, he's out, the next guy in. You know what I mean? So it's like 8 hours on end, just back to back, back to back, back to back.
Okay, that's very interesting. Being somebody who's influenced by like American hip hop and Japanese culture, do you feel like any differences between the hip hop in two countries for like the people?
Yeah. Definitely a huge difference. In the States, it's more aggressive. It's ego-driven. It's you have to flaunt. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like who can brag more than the other guy? Or who's more dangerous than the other guy? And stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? And in Japan, first of all, nobody raps about violence. I came to find out, which is crazy. Like, I keep forgetting my guy's name, but he's like he's got a lot of tattoos and he's like an OG rapper there. Do you know him? You probably know him. He signed to 1% Records. I think it's his record label or something like that. So you know him. I'll find a picture. I'll find a picture and I'll send it to you. His name just slipped my mind. He looks like a tough guy, bro. Like, he looks very tough. You know what I mean? He looks like a gangster. And then, so they played the joint. And they were like, "Yo, do you want to drop a verse on this just for the sake of if we want to put it out, we'll put it out, but like just to have fun." I was like, "Yeah, play the song." So they played the song. The song was like, "No, East Side, you know what I mean? Like West Side, motherfucker." So I'm like, "Okay, cool. That's all I'm catching. East Side, West Side, motherfucker." So I'm thinking, "Oh, this is some street." Like, and I'm like, "Yo, translate what he's saying in between." And then when they translate it, they're like, "He's saying he loves his friends, him and his neighbors are on good terms. Like, you treat your neighbor with respect, they treat you with respect. Around here, we come together." It's like all positive vibes, but when you listen to it, it's like, you know what I mean? Because of just like that perception and that stigma that hip hop has left, like with the whole East Side, West Side thing. You immediately think it's like some street shit, but it actually isn't. And then I started to ask them to really translate like every other song that I did, like even the trap shit that we did. The most common thing like between the States and Japan in the hip hop game, content wise, I guess it's like the drug shit, like talking about lean or talking about weed or talking about this and that. That's all it is really. But then after that, like, it's totally different. Like, this side is very violent and very grimy and very dark. And this side is just like all positive vibes. Huge difference.
That's very interesting. Wow. That might be true.
Yeah.
That probably is true. Like, I didn't really notice that.
Think about it. Think about JP. He's got such a deep voice. And when you listen to it, it's like, it's hitting. Like, it's knocking. But you ask him to translate it, come to find out he's talking about a dance or he's talking about like candy or just like living a good life. You know what I mean?
It's always like having fun, like, you know, having good vibes and everything.
Yes.
That is very interesting. Well, and I want to definitely get into your album, Zulu Man With Some Power. Congratulations on the release of that. I love the album, man.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. I put a lot of hard work in it.
Can you tell me about the title, Zulu Man With Some Power?
Yeah, that title was inspired by this conversation I had with No ID. Right? We were just talking about like music, culture, and representing your culture, you know what I mean, within your plan as a hip-hop artist and your image and everything like that. You know what I mean? Just having a conversation about it. Not that we were making up plans or... I had no idea that I would end up changing the way I approach music and just, like, my art in general. But we had that conversation and it really inspired me to take a bit more pride in my culture. You know what I mean? as far as my music goes, and really put it out there and put it on and make sure like the world knows where I'm from, you know? So I started thinking about ways that I could do that that made it cool and make sure that it stands out, but at the same time, it's not too hard for people to digest and take in and embrace, you know what I mean? So I didn't want to make it too Zulu and like very foreign. I wanted to keep a little bit of a distance, but also just like be relatable. And Zulu Man with Some Power, just like it felt like it was perfect. Just symbolizing being a person that knows themselves, identifies with themselves, you know what I mean? Is not trying to run away from who they really are. A person who is aware and identifies with the messed up stuff around him, like stuff that he's responsible for, but also just like stuff that just comes with this business and this world that we live in, you know what I mean? Like identifying those vices and those evils and stuff, and being able to come out as a king no matter what. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you look at the album cover, I look like I'm ready to go to war. Like, I have a spear on me, and I'm just, like, standing there, like, ready to attack. But it's, like, I'm standing in a very serene place. It looks very serene. It looks beautiful and peaceful. Do you know what I mean? So that's the metaphor right there. Everything looks good, but me being the king of this place, I know that there's definitely some bad shit, like, that's just around the corner, just waiting for you to slip up. So, like, I'm ready at all times. That's what it means.
Thank you. Actually, the two songs that I really liked on the album that stood out to me was Feelings and Ababulali. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, yes, that's it.
Those two were like my top favorite. And interesting. Compared to your last project, man, I felt like this project was more kind of like therapeutic in a way, or like you finding yourself, embracing yourself.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. You even look at like those two songs that you pick right there, real songs about some real not flexing, not trying to come off as this untouchable guy. No, I'm talking about my flaws. I'm talking about how I'm dealing with them. On the other song, I'm talking about my father. I'm talking about how we never had a good relationship, but now we're good, and how I would like to honor him while he's still here. You know what I mean? Some real. It's just like going back to basics and just like doing that.
Yeah, like that's that's what really caught my mind. Like the song, what does Ababulali mean?
It actually means killers or murderers. It's an old school war cry, but it's like it's one of those struggle songs, those struggle anthems, you know, that just spoke about really colonizers, you know, how they come in and they take our parents from us and this and that and that and that. And that really got me thinking, like when I heard the sample, before I even made the beat, I was like, I have to flip this sample. The sample sounds so dope and it's so perfect. And it's like, it takes you away. But I don't want to stick to that subject. I don't want it to be another one of those songs that addresses that specific problem. So I was like, how can I flip that? Have the same meaning, but have it like a bit, like derived from the same topic, but very far. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay, cool. If you think about it, the reason why a lot of us grew up in like homes where our relationships with our parents wasn't what everybody else gets. Like, you know what I mean? You don't grow up, typically where I'm from, you don't grow up like even knowing your parents. You don't even know what your parents really like. You don't know what type of people they are. You don't know what makes them tick really. You know what I mean? Like, you're just so afraid of them, and you mask that up as respect, but you're really just afraid of them because you don't really know them like that. You know what I mean? Whenever you guys speak, it's either you're taking an order or you're asking for something, you know what I mean? That's like the kind of setup I grew up in. And I guess it's like, to some degree, fair to blame colonizers for that. Because if our parents weren't slaves to the system and struggling so hard to keep the lights on and put food on the table, we would have better relationships with our parents. I guarantee you that, you know what I mean? So I decided to, you know, like create another layer to that whole shebang.
Wow, I relate. I feel like I can relate to that as a Japanese person because, like, even though we have such a different culture, I guess, but you know, in Japan, a lot of the people don't really have like a good relationship with their parents because a lot of the times their parents are so like corporate. And they they want their child to live a certain way.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like that's one of the reasons why Japan has such a high suicide rate within like the young people, you know?
Yeah, it's very strict. It's strict. It feels like the people that are supposed to be your protectors and the people that understand you, like the core you, they end up just becoming like your handlers. They just making sure you stay alive and get educated. They don't really know what you like. They don't know what color you like, what music you like, what girl you're falling in love with. They don't even know like your sexuality, bro. Like it's crazy. It's crazy. Like you grow up until you're like 18 and leave the house, and then you start to feel the effect of of that. You know what I mean? While I was still at home, I mean, I felt it, but I was like, it's fine. I got bigger problems to worry about. I have to pass school. I have to do this and that. And on top of that, like, I'm trying to be cool as a kid. So I didn't really feel the effect of that. But when I left home and I started to miss my parents, I was like, man, what do I miss? Really, what is it that I miss? Like, do I miss being shouted at? Do I miss the orders? Because I don't have those memories where we were, like, having, like, good times and laughing and joking around and stuff. I don't have those. So I was like, I miss you, but I don't know what I miss about you. You know what I mean? And that's crazy, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah, like, hearing that story, and then it'll probably, like, hit me different after I heard that story. And if I listen to that song again, did you feel like you work with your father right now?
Do I work with him?
Yeah. Do you like you work with him? I think the last time I interviewed you, you were saying something like that. No.
No, it's my brother that I work with. My big brother.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I made him my manager.
Yeah, but it's good hearing that like your relationships with your father is
getting better.
Yeah, like has like your several trips to Japan influenced you on like being able to embrace yourself?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, as you said, like after you leave. You started realizing, what do you miss about your parents?
More than anything, it changed the way I looked at people. It changed the way I looked at people. It definitely changed the way I look at myself, in terms of just, like, being shy to do the things that I really love or dress the way that I really want to just because I fear what people are going to think or say about it. It changed that. That changed why I was in Japan. But it's when I came back and then like readjusting again to, again, not being able to just step outside, not being able to just say, hi, your dress is nice to somebody without them thinking, oh, are you trying to hit on me? Are you trying to do this and that? Or, ew, you're not dressed the way I like. You know what I mean? Like all that, like it just came rushing back in as soon as I landed. And it changed the way I look at people, man. I was just like, yo, it's crazy how people are not even themselves. Because if you took away all the pressures that society puts on people, people wouldn't be the miserable and horrible people that they are. They'll be more chill. They wouldn't be trying to fit in or trying to stay in the same margin as the cool and try and keep everybody out of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. Like, that changed for me when I got back. Just the way I look at people, the way I treat people. I obviously can't change the way people treat me. That'll never change. Like, that's up to them.
I felt like your relationship with the people around you kind of changed within this like, 2 or 3 years. Like, you know, has rising like as a star and the relationships changing influenced the sound of the lyrics? Like, I think I heard a lot of like those. Maybe it kind of made me imagine like, man, maybe like your homies did you dirty or like.
Yeah, something. That happens. Yeah, it happens, man. I mean, I kind of expected that from the first time that happened to me, which was a long time ago. I kind of expected it to happen with every other person that I picked up on the way. You know what I mean? I started to realize it's a similar pattern, man. You pick people up on the way because you think that, okay, these people are going in the same direction I'm going. They look like genuine people and this and that, and they have a hustler spirit and whatever, so let's hustle. And then somewhere down the line, it changes. Either they get complacent, they get too lazy, or they want too much. They feel entitled.
They start to get greedy, start to get malicious.
Do you know what I mean? All that type of stuff just kind of like falls into play. And I mean, we pick those people up on the way. So I drop them off on the way. That's what I do. Like if I didn't start with you in Durban, if you cross me or even give me that energy, I'm dropping you. Like it's no question. Like I'm dropping you and I'm cutting you off from my life. And not only that, like you're going to know that I don't you know? And that happened, especially in the space of like these past 2 years that's been happening. 3 years actually has been happening like crazy, you know? And I guess I just found myself in a space where I was like ready to talk about it and like address it on the album.
And I feel like I mean, as an artist, like I talk about my own problems a lot. I feel like talking about that really makes you think like, man, makes you appreciate the people who are still around you way
yes.
more.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like I really, you know, felt that listen to this album. That's why I really appreciated this album, man.
Thank you, bro.
And he had a couple of, really dope collaborations like Ari Lennox. How did that collab happen?
I was in Atlanta when I did the song, but she wasn't there actually. Like I haven't really met her. So I was in Atlanta. I did a couple songs, and that one ended up being one of the songs that I wanted to put on the album. But we always like felt like there was just something missing, and we always just like we kept it on the side and just like waited for the right person to show up, and then we'll be like, you perfect. You know what I mean? And I found out that she wanted to work. So when that opportunity presented itself, I was like, okay, cool. I already have something in the bag that's like perfect for Ari. Like I started listening to some of her stuff like on YouTube and I was like, cool, perfect. I got it. It's this one. And then, we sent it to her. She liked it. She put down a verse. She did like a variety of like takes with the hook and stuff just to give it a bit more flavor and feel a bit more like interactive. And she killed it, man.
Mm. Yeah, like I've never met her. I've never interviewed her before, but she seems to have like a beautiful soul.
Yes. Looks like a genuine person. You know what I mean? She's not on those superstar shit. It's like a real one.
Yeah, dude. I want to see you collaborate with like the dudes in like Spillage Village or Earth Gang.
Oh yeah. I was just watching the video they put out with JID.
Baptized. Yeah.
Is it Baptized? Oh, that shit is so crazy. It is so crazy. So,
yeah, JID and Earth Gang are a favorite right now.
Yeah, I would definitely work with them. They were here in South Africa, actually. We did a show together. Yeah, we did a show together, but we didn't really get to meet and talk or whatever. I was just like right behind them. They came on stage and I went right
there. Uh-huh. Man, is there anything you want to announce or like shout out or?
Yeah, shout out to the people that have been rocking with me since I was there. I made a lot of connections when the last time I was there. Even from just like the video shoot where we were at, you know, a lot of people, like the models that were there, they were like, oh, how do you know JP? Where are you from? Like, you know what I mean? And then they started to follow me and stuff. So shout out to them. Shout out to everybody that's been looking out. Yeah, and just shout out to the people of Japan just for being them, man. Like, they're definitely a big part of why I love Japan so much. So shout out to them. Yeah, I can't wait to come back. Shout out to you also, obviously. Avi.
Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you. And everybody, make sure to go check out Nasty C's album, Zulu Man With Some Power, out.
Yes.
Everywhere right now. It's an amazing album and this documentary. Where can we watch the documentary right now?
Right now it's on Apple. So if you go on Apple, just search Nasty C Origins. Yeah, and you'll see it.
Nasty C Origins. And do you have like a similar documentary for other countries or no?
Not really. Nah, yeah, just Japan. With like the other countries, what I did was I had like this little series, like a 5-episode series. And it basically was like a very short version of what I did in Japan. In Japan, it's like a full 20-minute thing. In other countries, I did like 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
It was like a 45-minute for Japan.
Oh, you saw the full cut? I thought you saw the short.
I saw the full cut.
Oh yeah, see what I mean? Dude. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Special, different.
And there was a lot of like artists or rappers that I know that was actually in the video. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh. You got connection with these people and everything. It's cool, man.
Yeah.
And I think this is it today, man. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, man.
For sure, man.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of Zulu Man With Some Power podcast series brought to you by M Studios by Old Mutual. If you want to find out more information about the facilities and resources that they offer or revisit some of their masterclasses, the time is now to visit mstudios.co.za.
Music has changed. How it makes us feel never will. The time is now to visit mstudios.co.za.